This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa.
Good evening, and welcome to the Thursday edition, or this Thursday's edition, of the Briznet.com call-in show here on HRRN. We're here every Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Your show, HRRN Nation, your chance to give us a call and talk about whatever you'd like or ask us any of the tough questions or maybe even sometimes easy questions if you want to give us a little break. 888-966-4776 is the number to call. 888-966-HRRN. That's your number to jump on in and call us about whatever you'd like to talk about. You want to talk about some of the great racing we saw last weekend, whether it was at Parks or at Belmont Park or Remington Park or some of the big races coming up this weekend. We've got the opening weekend card from Santa Anita. We've got Belmont Park with multiple stakes days, both Saturday and Sunday. Great races Saturday at Churchill Downs. How about the Arc de Triomphe is this Sunday as well? We haven't talked about that much, or maybe you just want to talk about what's going on with Bob Baffert. He seems to be in the news and can't stay out of the news, whether it's this guy suing that or these people claiming this or whatever it is. Whatever you'd like to talk about, we're here. We'll head right out to the phones. Vince in California, welcome back to the Briznet.com call-in show.
Hi, Bobby. Yeah, you made me laugh because we listened to 70s also, and my wife really should go on a game show because she's in the back seat, and when the song comes on, we test her. Because, you know, they have the name of the artist underneath, and she rarely gets them wrong, Bobby, rarely.
Okay, wait, I'm cutting you off first. I'm not hanging up. Why is the wife sitting in the back seat?
It's a long story, but I've been putting up with it. Bobby, I've been putting up with it for 29 years, and we're high school sweethearts. We're going on like 45 years, Bobby. But she really should get on a show. She doesn't miss. She just missed Friday. I didn't know Whitney Houston's mother was popular. Maybe we're about the same age. So you probably, do you remember? I don't remember Whitney's mother being famous, but she couldn't get that song. And so, but she nails them. They're just so fun to watch her do them, too, because on that 70s, they play a wide range of different artists. You know what I mean? It's really an enjoyable station to cruise on. So I wanted to get that out of the way. But remember I called last week. I haven't felt so good, Bobby, on a bet. I kind of picked Hot Rod on air last week, and I went to the window pretty heavily. You know, $200 exact, I got back, you know, 1080. I thought that was stealing, Bobby, to be honest with you. I thought that was fantastic. So, yeah, I felt really good. I had $300 to win, a $200 exacta. Never thought I was going to lose the bet. If they took Hot Rod down on that inquiry, I text my buddy. I was actually working. He went to La Salle and made the bets for me. I said, if they take this down, I won't make a bet till Breeders' Cup. They just didn't touch enough. And then they scared me because the guys doing the telecast said there's a rule in Pennsylvania that if you break a foul, they take you down no matter what. Now, we don't have that, I don't think, in California. So when I started hearing that, I think, wait a minute. If he did a little foul, maybe I'm going to lose his bet. But anyways, we made it through, and I felt really good about having a good opinion because I haven't had that lately with a strong opinion. I was in Saratoga with Anthony, and I didn't cash many tickets, so I guess that was a good rebound bet for me.
Yeah, that's a great play, and that's phenomenal. No matter what, you know, no matter whether you're playing long shots or lower price ones, when you can have that much conviction and at no point think that you're a loser in the race. And the funny thing was, this is strange, Vince. So I actually, I'm actually friends with a few people that are stewards different parts of the country, and not at Philadelphia. I keep wanting to call it Philly Park or Philadelphia Park, not at Parks. But I spoke to Stewart and I asked him. I said, "What did you think about the Pennsylvania Derby?" And he says, "If they would have finished closer together, I would have thought of taking that horse down." If he was a steward. And I said, man, I'm glad that I'm not playing races where you're involved, buddy. That's all I can say, because I completely disagree with that. I don't really think much was done at all. I think it was just a little bit of race riding there. I've seen much worse things where they didn't come down. But, you know, that's why, you know, it's always strange. You know, it's like leaving it up to umpire, you know, referees in football or umpires in baseball. You know, when you have decision making or, you know, judgment calls, it's always a little bit worrisome. You'd like for Hot Rod Charlie to not have drifted out and possibly bothered Midnight Bourbon at the quarter pole. In the end, I don't really think it mattered, and at least Hot Rod Charlie went on with it. Now, you liked Hot
Rod
Charlie.
Next week.
I appreciate it, Vince. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call. All right, interesting note there, and that's true. I did speak to a steward after that, and they thought there was a chance that they could take Hot Rod Charlie down for interfering with Midnight Bourbon at the quarter pole. Now, I personally don't think that anything happened. Yeah, I mean, we saw something, but I don't think anything happened with it warranted a disqualification. I'm glad that Hot Rod Charlie went on with it and won by enough that if they were even thinking about putting a foul claim up there, putting the inquiry up, that they decided not to do it. And Hot Rod Charlie, he will go on, apparently, to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Sounds like Midnight Bourbon will stay away from the Breeders' Cup Classic and point to other things down the line, maybe even run during the winter over at Churchill Downs. But that was a thrilling renewal of the Pennsylvania Derby. Listen, there was a lot of luster taken out of that race when it was announced that Medina Spirit would not run in there. I still don't buy that BS thing of, well, we don't like the post position and with all the speed in there, so we're going to scratch. When you're the favorite in the race, and Medina Spirit would have been favored in the race, and you're the marquee draw, you know, they're the ones who should be worried about your running style, not you about their running style. And the fact that the other Baffert trainee, the filly who was entered in the cotillion, also scratched, it sounds to me like there was a little bit more to the story. Now, Medina Spirit, we're going to get to see him this weekend at Santa Anita as part of that fantastic Saturday card. And, Ed, I want your opinion on this. You know, Medina Spirit did not run against Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon against straight three-year-olds for $1 million last weekend. He's running this weekend against his elders in the grade one, in the Awesome Again, rather, on Saturday at Santa Anita. I know that the older horses in Southern California are really not the marquee names this year that maybe we've seen in past years, but I don't think this is a lay-down, easy effort for Medina Spirit by any means. I would be looking to play against him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just the type of horse that's going to attract money no matter what, and those are, I mean, in my mind, in a lot of ways, auto bets against, if you have any doubts. Now, I say that as someone who has strongly supported horses like Unique Bella, Songbird, you know, these sort of universal favorites. This isn't that. This is a horse who clearly has some questions, who's not going to be an overwhelming favorite, but is going to be overwhelmingly bet.
You know, I did not like Medina Spirit in the Kentucky Derby this year. I did not use him in any tickets. It wasn't that I was strictly playing against him. He wasn't one of the horses I liked in the Derby. And one of the main reasons that I didn't like him is I couldn't get it through my head that the second or third best Bod Baffert three-year-old could win the Kentucky Derby. I didn't think this horse was anywhere as close to Life is Good when we saw them running against each other. Even the day that he kind of came running late and looked like he made it close against Life is Good. And to this day, I don't think Medina Spirit is close to the horse that Life is Good is. So I have it, you know, listen, I've had prejudice against horses in the past that have cost me a lot of money. John Henry is one of them. I hate that horse to this day. I cannot stand John Henry. That horse, no matter when he ran, if he won, I bet against him. If he lost, I bet on him. He was just a nightmare for me. And it's not him personally. Obviously, if I would have had a chance to go see him at the Kentucky Horse Park or something like that, I would have been thrilled to do it. But as far as like wagering memories and whatever, John Henry is at the top of my list of horses I cannot stand. And there are a lot of people that you and I know that probably say he's their favorite horse of all time. Favorite horse of all time. Medina Spirit is one of these horses. I'm never going to get over get it out of my mind that he won the Derby and maybe was not even the top two best Bob Baffert horses of the year.
No, I think that's fair. You know, Authentic is one. I'm not sure I have any horse that is elevated to a John Henry like that one is for you, but stay tuned. It's bound to happen. But like Authentic last year, I just, you know, was never in his camp. And he had I guess what separates John Henry and why maybe no one will ever have a horse like that, like you do, is John Henry ran a bunch year after year. And now at least the horses you're sort of against all the time, if they're that good and they're winning, they retire quickly. So they spare you the misery. So maybe that's what's affecting me not having that type of John Henry horse. But yeah, Medina Spirit, I was against him Derby. And I just feel like he's one you have to let beat you against Elder at a short price this weekend.
Ed, did you ever see the movie The Color of Money, which was the sequel to The Hustler?
No.
The Color of Money was a billiards movie, and The Hustler obviously was with Paul Newman, and he came back as kind of like the teacher to Tom Cruise in The Color of Money, another very bad 1980s movie. But anyway, there was a scene where Tom Cruise is playing a guy named Grady Seasons in some money game, and he's supposed to basically lay down, let Grady Seasons beat him so he can get better odds later on. And Grady Seasons is walking around making every shot there is, and he's telling Tom Cruise, he goes, "It's like a never-ending nightmare, kid. It just keeps getting worse and worse." That was John Henry every time he went to the racetrack. A never-ending nightmare for me. Yeah, even now, our producer, Lee Della Pina, playing John Henry coming onto the racetrack, just to never let it end for me, that the nightmare that was John Henry as far as my wagering back then. Okay.
So the statue that was at Arlington is not coming home to you.
The statue at Arlington is not coming home to me. Listen, I respect John Henry. He's obviously a fantastic racehorse, and you know, he was bred not to be much, and he turned out to be a fantastic horse. For me, though, total effing nightmare every time he ran. John Henry couldn't stand where everyone else was getting excited when they saw him in the entries. Like if they pulled out the L.A. Times and saw the next day's entries and saw it, if I saw him, I really just was not smart enough to stay away. That was the problem. I was too much of a degen not to bet. And I was always wrong. So there you go, John Henry. Ed, are you still there with us?
Yeah, you dropped off for a moment. But
okay, perfect. So I have a question. I asked Dave Friedman this question on Race Day today, presented by Twin Spies. I wanted to ask you as well, and any of our callers out there who want to call in and answer this, 888-966-4776, 888-966-HRRN. We've got a whole lot of big races this weekend, whether it's at Santa Anita, Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, or even out at Longchamp. What horse do you think most needs a big effort this weekend for you to like his or her chances in a Breeders' Cup race?
That's a good question. You know, and I haven't been through everything, and I know there's some races Sunday at Belmont too. You know, for me, and it's kind of odd because this is a big chalk. There's no excuses or middle ground with Nick's Go. I think either it's, you know, a predecessor to the Coronation in the Lucas Classic at Churchill, where he's the Nick's Go, and I think that makes him, you know, somewhat invincible other than to a stablemate essential quality. But if it looks like he's working or is just as good as these, or, you know, any of the above around there, certainly including a loss, I would want absolutely no part of him in the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, those horses can win. I mean, we saw Authentic come back after the Preakness and win the Classic at a decent price. But for me, he's the one where it's like, if he's as advertised and you want to take the price, he's going to be in the Breeders' Cup. He better blow the doors off this field.
And I would agree with that, not only because, you know, let's face it, this is a grade three event with a really nice purse, $400,000. It's a field of six where four of the other five runners really don't look like they have any races in their past performances that could come close to Nick's Go. And then the second choice on the morning line is Tacitus, who's only run once this year in the Saudi Cup, where he was horribly beaten by Mishriff and Charlatan and those runners. And even last year, you know, he was just kind of a nondescript fourth in the Breeders' Cup. He got beat by Happy Saver and Mystic Guide in the Jockey Club Gold Cup after he actually made the lead in the race. You know, you don't know what kind of race you're going to get off this lengthy layoff for Tacitus. So if that's his main rival, Nick's Go, who's 2-5 on the morning line, I mean, I'd be shocked if he did not win that race by daylight.
No, and with his, you know, if he had a closer's running style like a Zenyatta, it never bothered me that, you know, she won by a lip on occasion. You know, that's just how she was ridden. And, you know, we saw her plenty when she wasn't ridden that way to take the race to people where she didn't have to win by a lip. But, I mean, Nick's Go, you know, he runs you off your feet and he keeps going. So in his case, that's, to me, especially with his running style, why it would be so concerning if he were not to be super impressive.
I completely agree with you. 2-5 on the morning line, I'd be shocked if he got beat. I'd be shocked if he's higher than 1-5 at post time. It just does not look like the toughest test that Nick's Go has ever faced, and he usually beats horses like this very, very easily. I think we'll see the same thing in the Grade 3 Lucas Classic, the eighth race on the Saturday card at Churchill. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll have more here on the BristNet.com call-in show. Number to call in, 888-966-4776.
This is the BristNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BristNet.com/APR. The BristNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BristNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BristNet is the handicapper's edge.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 9th, as the best West Virginia breds in training take to the track for the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics. The night features nine stakes races worth a total of $1 million, headlined by the $300,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic and the $175,000 Kavada Breeders Classic. It all gets started under the Saturday night lights at 7 o'clock Eastern. It's the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics on Saturday, October 9th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BristNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back back to the BristNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa. Right now it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. She Dares the Devil to be offered at Fasig Tipton November. She Dares the Devil, the 2020 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks winner, current leader in the Distaff division, will be offered at the November sale, Fasig Tipton's select breeding stock sale in Lexington, November 9th. Hunter Valley Farm will consign the four-year-old daughter of Daredevil on behalf of owners Qatar Racing, Flurry Racing Stables, and Big Ought Farms. Very rarely does a multiple Grade 1 winner and a classic winner in the best form of her career come to public auction, said consigner Fergus Galvin of Hunter Valley Farm. She's a remarkable talent and just 4 years old can provide her next owner with world-class race mare to campaign on the sport's biggest and brightest stages. Trainer Brad Cox said She Dares the Devil showed talent from the start. Debut winner at 2, she progressed to win at Grade 1 races at 3 and 4. She's a tremendous filly who's as sound and consistent as a racehorse could be. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Did you know the Blood Horse Daily has the largest subscriber base of any thoroughbred industry electronic daily newsletter? It was recently honored for the second year in a row as the best equine-related electronic publication by the American Horse Publications Media Awards. Keep up to date on what's going on in the industry. Sign up to have Blood Horse Daily emailed to you once a day. Get started right now. Go to bloodhorsedaily.com/daily. Bobby Newman in Action, Ed DeRosa back on the BristNet.com call-in show. Let's head back to the phone line. Steve in New York, welcome.
What's up, boys? How's it going? What's up, Ed? Bobby, how's everything?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Been a while. Good, man. So I got 2 points real quick, right? First, to answer your question, Bobby, 100% this week, it's Maxfield. I've been on this horse from day one, huge fan. I'm a huge fan of the trainer. I think this horse, when he made that move, was at Keeneland early on last year, or it was in the fall of last year, I can't recall, the year before. I lose track of the time, but, I mean, that was eye-catching. And since then, again, huge fan of this horse, but when he gets outside of Kentucky, it's like he's a different horse. Even though that last race in Saratoga, he ran pretty good against the track bias, but still, you need to see something good from him in the Woodward to really be confident because, you know, early in the year he went to the West Coast and he just didn't show up again. So that's the horse I think needs to really, really show out this week. That's point one. Point two, a little bit of a bone to pick with Ed, but not really in general, and I'll hang up after this. You know, I think in this industry we have a tendency as fans to overlook when, like, great horses are right before us. And Jackie's Warrior, man, from, like, day one, I feel like this horse has never really gotten the credit he deserves. Like, starting off early in the year, it was always like, you know, he's not good enough to run a mile and a quarter of the Derby distance, so people are down on him then. Then he went, you know, he ran a banger at Churchill. Dream Shake didn't come back to run squat, so they said, oh, you know, that was a weak race. Then he ran a banger in the Belmont Stakes day. And, you know, he lost that race, but he missed the break. Drain the Clock came back, didn't run. He beat Drain the Clock. People said, oh, that was a weak race. Then he came back. Steer to Life is Good in the Eyeballs, put that one away. And still, now people are looking towards Flightline, and that's the bone I have to pick with Ed. I don't know what it is, but let me tell you guys something right now, man. I've been watching races probably 20-plus years now, maybe 30. You know, I'm an old guy now, right, just like you guys. And I have no idea. I don't know this for a fact, but I've seen plenty of times there are some horses when other horses, good horses, stare them in the eye and they're forced to run versus these horses, they break them in half. You look at Dream Shake after that race he ran versus Jackie's Warrior, never the same. You look at Drain the Clock after he beat him that day. He was forced to run that day at Belmont. Jackie's Warrior missed the break, never the same. Look at Life is Good. That's not the plan. They had to go to the Kelso and then now to the Breeders' Cup Mile. Broke him in half that day. Use some of these horses, man. And this horse, let me tell you, this horse is a special horse. And I hope people, like, really wake up and realize what we're looking at here. Maybe the sprinter mile, whatever. He's not going to be like a, you know, he's not going to win a mile and a quarter race. But this is a special horse, man. And I think people are really overlooking him for the next one. I don't know why.
That's Steve. Steve, thanks very much for your call. 2 points there, Ed. I'm going to let you go first with this last one. Steve's a big fan of Jackie's Warrior, and Jackie's Warrior coming off a resounding win in the Gallant Bob, where it was really like a paid workout for a lot of money. and he's going to be favored in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, mainly because Flightline is not going to run. He's going to skip it and wait for the Malibu opening day of the winter meet at Santa Anita, December 26th. But he may have been favored anyway. He was going to vie for favoritism with Flightline. Now with Flightline out, and with Life is Good going to the Dirt Mile, and with Yaupon retired, I would think that Jackie's Warrior will solidly be favored in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. What's your ideas of him?
Yeah, there's no question he's the favorite now. And, I mean, we were talking among us here at Churchill, and I need to go back to look at the charts, but, I mean, he might be the biggest favorite in sprint history. I just don't know another horse people would be excited about. I will say I don't know that he's underrated. I mean, he was favored in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile over Essential Quality, who's gone on to do pretty well. That race in particular, obviously, is gangbusters, considering Hot Rod Charlie in there and Keep Me in Mind to a lesser extent. So, I get it with Flightline. Like, hey, this horse just has an allowance win. What gives? Let's celebrate Jackie's Warrior, who's actually winning stakes races. That's probably a fair point, but at the end of the day, we get to bet on who's faster. If Flightline ends up being the one that takes more money, then maybe Jackie's Warrior is the better bet. But certainly in the sprint now, he looks like the most likely winner of the whole 2 days.
And I don't agree with the part that he's broken Life is Good in half. Life is Good, going to the Kelso and going to the Dirt Mile. I think the plan all along was to stretch him back out. After all, he was on the Kentucky Derby trail earlier this year before he got injured. So I'm not really sure you can say he broke him in half, but that was an impressive win, beating him, passing Life is Good that day in the Allen Jerkins. To Steve's first point, he likes Maxfield. He's hoping Maxfield runs big. What do you make of the fact that Brendan Walsh is putting blinkers on Maxfield for the first time?
Me or Steve?
You, Steve. Steve is listening.
Oh, Steve's a vapor trail. I'm sorry. He's been pushing a lot of the right buttons lately. So I see it. I know a lot of people think equipment changes, especially on accomplished horses, maybe a negative. Like, oh, what are they trying? Brendan's just feels. It feels like he's turning the right screws as of late. He's been winning with more firsters. The barn's going well. So. And I don't want to be overwrought about it and say, oh, what a positive, but I definitely wouldn't see it as a negative. And I would say this is the time to try it more than the Breeders' Cup. So I would say I share the enthusiasm for this horse taking a shot in a race like this.
Let's head back out to the phones. George in Naples, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show. You got Bobby and Ed.
Hey, guys. How we doing tonight?
Hey, George.
Hey, couple quick things. I kind of digested what Neil Howard said this morning on Steve Bick, and I'm starting to get it. Like, I mean, the guys just between, what Will Farish and him teamed up for, I mean, they teamed up for $53 million in lifetime purses. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. And of course, he tailed off a little bit. He's starting to age a little. And I'm sure, I'm not sure, but I'm guessing he's going to take care of the Kentucky string for Shug. And, I mean, Shug just got better, a lot better. So, I mean, it's an exciting thing when you look at it from 30,000 feet. It's probably going to work out for both of them. And, more power to them. And the friendship probably was, I'm guessing, was the deciding factor. One thing I do have to say, and I've been following horse racing since I was 15 and I'm 62, a couple years ago, I felt this way about Natoli, and I called Anthony Stabile ad nauseum, and Ed, you were probably on some of those calls. Natoli, I couldn't get enough of him, and I feel the same way about Jackie's Warrior if he goes in the sprint. I'm so far as to say that if he loses, I quit. That's how, and Ed, every once in a while I've heard you on this show, you get that feeling on a horse. Well, I have it on Jackie's Warrior. If all things come up to the race as they look there, like they're going to, you can't get too far ahead of your skis, one little inflamed tendon or something, and all of a sudden, we're sitting on the sidelines. But I'm willing to say that you know, now. And I think, you know, not even knowing what the field is, I think 3-5, 4-5 is in the ballpark, maybe 1-1. And I'm ready. And my Breeders' Cup is going to be short and sweet with that horse. And then the last thing I have, and I'll hang up and listen. Ed, you probably have to sit on your hands for this one, but I found it, and, you know, some of the online comments today were the same way. I found it a little, the optics of Churchill announcing a new gaming facility, CDI announcing a new gaming facility downtown 2 days after the Arlington sale, a little bit like when you hear the guy say, there's nothing to see here, folks. It was all, you know, it was orchestrated very well, obviously. But the view from the optics, the view from 30,000 feet, an independent arbitrator would look at it like CDI has horse racing's best interest when it benefits CDI. And I'm not ripping them. Listen, I go to the Derby every year, and I always have a good time, and they always treat me well when I go there. I've never had a bad experience there. So, but the optics for the fan that follows it doesn't look that great as far as a horse racing interest versus a gaming interest. And listen, they're a business. They're beholden to the stockholders, and you know, they have a right to run it like a business. I mean, we have a right to not like it. So that's what makes America great, I guess. And you know, I appreciate both of you guys. You know, I miss the Big A, of course, but I love the show, and I try to listen as much as I can in the summer and early fall, and then when season comes down here in Naples, I get pretty busy and can't listen. But, you know, I think you guys do a great thing, and I don't know how you do it sometimes, because if I bet three cards a month heavy, I'm wiped out. And you guys do it day in and day out. It's a special breed, a rare bird that can do it day in and day out. God bless you. But I appreciate you guys, and thanks for the show.
Thanks for calling, George. Appreciate it. Well, lot to bite off there, Ed. And I'm going to answer the last question, the thing, or I don't even know if it was a question, but his comment about Churchill, the announcement today that they're opening a new historic horse racing facility in downtown Louisville in the next few years. So take that off you. But as far as what George was saying about Jackie's Warrior, is there anything that can happen this weekend, specifically in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship, that can bite into the favoritism of Jackie's Warrior?
I mean, there's no way he's not the favorite, so that's off the table. You know, I guess, and we have the Phoenix next week, so, you know, maybe just something jumps out so much, or you know, where you say, well, that's the alternative. But I just think at this point, it's Jackie's Warrior is going to be 3-5. And then all the other prices are, you know, just determined by how they come into this race. But I see no way that Jackie's Warrior isn't 3-5, no matter how these races are run the next two weekends.
I'm going to say something about the George's Churchill Downs, his, not his comment, but what he said about them that may not be very popular, but it's what I believe to be true. And I think I have a reason I can say this, because I worked for a company that was part of the Churchill Downs family in Calder for many, many years. When I started, they went from not being a Churchill property to becoming a Churchill property to becoming basically nothing right now. And I was at Calder in 2014 when basically Calder stopped being a horse racing facility. I know that they had races at what they called Gulfstream Park West for a few years, but that really wasn't Calder. The building was completely demolished, and the casino stayed there. Basically, you know, the racetrackers did all they could to get gaming passed in Dade County, and once it was, then gaming became the main thing at Calder, and horse racing wasn't. And it's a very simple thing. Yes, it hurt a lot at the time, losing jobs, you know, hundreds of people losing their jobs and just kind of not really left on the streets, but that's kind of what it was. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, Churchill Downs did what's best for Churchill Downs. It's harder to swallow because the name of the company is still Churchill Downs Incorporated and not Churchill Gaming Incorporated or Churchill, you know, historic horse race, you know, church, whatever you want to say. It still sounds like they should be 100% pro racing. But the fact of the matter is that when gaming makes this much money, and I'm holding my arms out as far as I can, and horse racing makes this much money, and I'm holding it like I'm showing you the tiniest speck of whatever, and in some places loses money, it's very simple which one is going to be preferred. And it's like anyone who has a business. You do what's best for your business. There are very few businesses out there that will specifically do things that are not in their best interest, you know, to make everyone else happy. I don't know why we would expect that to be this case. They're in the business of making money. This is the way they make the most money. It does not work out for those of us who are necessarily wanting to work at these racetracks or work at these racetracks or like going or playing these racetracks. It is what it is. And the truth is that this historic horse racing facility that they're building in downtown Louisville is something they had talked about as far back as when they said they're going to stop building the hotel at Churchill Downs, that they were looking at another location to have these machines. And this is what it's going to be. The timing is weird because, yes, it came out that they sold Arlington a couple days ago, and now they're announcing this great thing in downtown Louisville that's going to make all this money and add some jobs and add to the purses and that. But listen, it's not like they just decided to do this right after they were guaranteed the money from Arlington. It just worked out that way, and that's you know, it's really weird timing that way. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go back out to the phone lines. John in Florida, hang on. We'll be with you in a couple minutes. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
And now an important message from Jerry Rice.
As a career wide receiver, I've been hit hard. But no training nor practice prepared us for the devastation of COVID-19. Thankfully, there is hope. Even with multiple vaccines available, we still have to work together until everyone is safe. We all win when we unite to prevent.
For more information, visit unitetoprevent.org.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton, only on HRRN. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa on a Thursday night. Let's head back out to the phone lines. John in Florida, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Bobby. Just a sidebar to John Henry. Do you know the early history of John Henry and the funny incident with John Henry when he was a maiden?
No, go ahead.
Okay, he was a maiden, and his first start was at Evangeline Downs. He was by old Bob Bowers, a real obscure sire, and everybody that had this horse tried to sell him and couldn't sell him. He was sold two or three times for real cheap money, and finally ended up with a New York owner named Sam Rubin, who raced under Dot Sam. His wife's name was Dorothy, and they sold him to him. And his trainer, Lefty Nickerson, said to him, I just bought you a three-year-old gelding. And he asked him, what color is a gelding? That's how much he knew about horses. But he was smart enough to send the horse in the off-season to Ron McAnally in California, and the rest is history. And later on, I saw John Henry at the horse park. I didn't go to see him. I went to go see my favorite horse, Forgo. And they were in the same paddock, and he was like a midget compared to Forgo. But they said it throughout his career, he was just an ornery horse, just mean and ornery. But he won, what did he win, 30-something stakes, I think, overall.
John Henry won 39 races from 83 career starts. He actually ran his first four races at Jefferson Downs.
Okay.
And then he ran four races at Jefferson Downs, three at Evangeline, and then several at Fairgrounds before heading to Keeneland and Aqueduct and Belmont and Monmouth. And he actually didn't head out west until...
No, he went to New York to Lefty Nickerson, I think, with Dot Sam.
Yeah, he didn't go out west until the Grade 3 Volante Handicap in October of 1978 at Santa Anita. So he ran for a year and a half places not California, and then he basically was based in California for the rest of his career, and he ran, of course, all the way until almost the end of his eight-year-old campaign.
And how much did he make all together?
$6.591 million.
I think that was a pretty good investment he made.
And he, by the way, retired on a four-race win streak, winning the Grade 1 Sunset at Hollywood, the Grade 1 Arlington Million, the Grade 1 Turf Classic at Belmont, and the Ballantine Scotch Classic Handicap at the Meadowlands, his final start.
Yeah, he was amazing because he could run both ways. He could run on the dirt and he could run on the turf, and I think he was a little better on the turf, but he was just an amazing horse.
Yeah, he was amazing, just not for me.
You know what that lifetime total is after inflation?
$6.591 million. No, go ahead.
17.3.
Yeah, that's amazing. I don't think anybody's won that many stakes in the modern era.
I mean, to do it in America before the advent of, you know, these super purse races around the world is pretty incredible.
John, really, thank you very much for your call. By the way, Ed, I don't know if you realize this, and I'm guessing John probably does. You know, there were four Arlington Millions before there was ever one Breeders' Cup race. The Breeders' Cup began in late 1984 at Hollywood Park. That was after the fourth Arlington Million, and John Henry had already run in two of those Arlington Millions. So you're right. He didn't really get a chance to strut his stuff when the quote-unquote big money was on the line. But he was his last race was October 13th of 1984, so actually right before the first ever Breeders' Cup was held.
Well, and I think that Valentine's race at Meadowlands has always been the traditional prep for the turf.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's the last time they ran at the Meadowlands. No, they're actually running at the Meadowlands this weekend. Is it called Monmouth at the Meadowlands? What are they actually called?
I think
this?
That's what they call it, yeah. I always know it as the Big M, though.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a really good Meadowlands story. It's the only time I've ever been to the Meadowlands. It was the night before the Breeders' Cup in 1990, where the Breeders' Cup was at Belmont Park, and a lot of bad things happened in that Breeders' Cup, whether it was Go for Wand or Mr. Nickerson or Shaker Knit. There were a lot of bad things and horses jumping shadows near the wire, and it was just freaking cold as could be. So my mom bought me a gift, like a birthday gift, that I could go to the Breeders' Cup that year. So I flew out there. I stayed some dumpy motel on Queens Boulevard. My ex-roommate, Chuck Simon, who was a longtime thoroughbred trainer.
No, I didn't know that.
Yep, came and picked me up, and we drove to the Meadowlands because Bob Levy, former owner Bob Levy, had a horse running that he loved, a first-time starter. So we're running, we're driving as fast as we can, which is not very fast on like a Friday night trying to get to the Meadowlands from Queens. to get out there to bet this horse. And we didn't get there in time, and the horse got beat a nose at like 4-5. So we thought we had avoided that landmine right away. But in addition to that, this is back when there was not full card simulcasting at racetracks around the country. If you were at the Meadowlands, the only other thing you could bet that night was Garden State Park Harness or vice versa. And there was like a separate area to go bet the Garden State Park Harness. It wasn't going to any window or something like that. So we're in this area over where you can bet simulcasting. And we're just standing, and there's like a ledge on the wall where you can either eat or, you know, put your form or whatever you want to do while you're – whatever you're doing. So we're over there, and we're handicapping, and we've got like our soda or beer or whatever we've got there, and there's a trash can next to me. And some guy comes over and just rifles his arm down into the trash can and starts, you know, like whisking around like he's going to grab a program or like left through a winning ticket in there, and he pulls out a handful of fries and eats them. And I turned to Chuck, straight-faced, and I said, "This is the coolest track I've ever been to in my life." That guy just did not give a you-know-what. We're standing right here. It does not – he is not going to spend his gambling money on food when there's perfectly good French fries somewhere in this garbage can.
Wow.
And that's the only time I've ever been to the Meadowlands. Only day I've ever been to the Meadowlands. I don't see how, if I go back to the Meadowlands, it could be better than that.
It can't. No, I'm not sure any trip to the racetrack's been better than that.
That's incredible. That trip to New York, first of all, so I skipped one part. I flew out from Arizona wearing shorts in November, got out there. Of course, there's no internet. It's not like I can go on there and see what the weather is going to be like. And it was cold. And I remember waiting for a shuttle or a cab, something, standing outside LaGuardia. And 10 feet from me is Joan Rivers wearing a mink coat. And she's got this little frou-frou dog with her. And she's looking at me wearing my T-shirt and shorts like, what kind of a jackass must this guy be? that he's standing out here in this weather in November in New York. And it was, you know, it was cold. It wasn't snowing, but it was cold. And it was a very cold day. The next day at Belmont, I just remember being really cold, having an awful day gambling. I hated Fly So Free. I thought Best Pal was way better than them. Best Pal did turn out to be way better than Fly So Free, but not that day in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And I think, you know, I didn't have Deja safely kept. I basically had nobody. And then at that night, the night of the Breeders' Cup, being the total degens that we were, we went to Yonkers that night because Chuck had actually worked there. So he was introducing me around, and he went up to introduce me to Bob Meyer, who was the longtime announcer at Yonkers. And Bob's on the phone when we walk into his booth or the press box, and he kind of gives us the one sign, like he'll be with us in a minute. And I hear him say, What do you got in pucks? And then there's a silence, and he goes, "All right, give me Edmonton for 5 dimes." And I was like, "That is an awesome first impression I just got of this guy. He just bet $5,000 on a hockey game. That is phenomenal."
I did the harness after Breeders' Cup Double in '99. Went up to Pompano.
Yeah, so, Pompano is a fun place to go to. Also, by the way, Pompano is the place where. Easy Money, where they show them pulling into the parking lot and ramming into that little convertible of like frat boys that are parked there on the club out on the club turn.
Right.
Pompano's an easy one from when you're going from Gulfstream Park. It's only about a half hour, 40 minutes north. We're going to take our final break. The phone lines are open. Feel free to give us a call if you'd like. 888-966-4776. We'll be back with more after this on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? and BriskNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BriskNet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BriskNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BriskNet.com/APR. The BriskNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BriskNet.com for all this information and more and discover why BriskNet is the handicapper's edge.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 9th, as the best West Virginia Breds in Training take to the track for the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics. The night features nine stakes races worth a total of $1 million, headlined by the $300,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic and the $175,000 Kubota Breeders Classic. It all gets started under the Saturday night lights at 7 o'clock Eastern. It's the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics on Saturday, October 9th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment of tonight's BriskNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa. Ed, while we have a chance, what's going on over at BriskNet? What kind of stuff do they have? Anything new for maybe opening day at Santa Anita?
Yeah, well, nothing new. New information, I guess, with the new race meet. But certainly Southern California, one of our top circuits, thanks to Andy Harrington's National Turf Clocker Report. So for those who like the clocker stuff, double duty at Santa Anita with Andy and Bruno DiGiulio's with the works. And then Belmont with their Breeders' Cup preps this weekend, got spotlight selections, and Churchill closing this weekend and mandatory payout pick six on Sunday here at Churchill. So encourage everyone to see the stuff we have for that. And then, of course, Keeneland meet, the Kentucky handicapper sheet will be back, and Bruno's Kentucky Works, etc. So this is definitely the ramp up time as everyone gets excited for Breeders' Cup, and BriskNet's got it covered coast to coast.
So we've got this weekend and next weekend and a little bit of the week after, because I think the final win in your in race for the Breeders' Cup is actually the Jessamine, which I think is on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
But I think that's the final, quote-unquote, official prep for the Breeders' Cup. So pretty much after the next weekend, almost everyone will be done. And then it's just a matter of, I guess, just hoping that everything stays status quo. You don't want to read headlines about any of the horses that you're looking forward to playing, because that can only be bad. You want them working every 5, 6, 7 days, whatever they normally do, and then get out to Del Mar in good order and worry about what post position you draw.
Exactly. Yeah. If you like a horse or excited to see how they stack up, then it's bubble wrap time. And you know, for like fans of Essential Quality who hasn't run since the Travers and won't, you're just hoping for progress, and same with all the others. But certainly when those, the pre-entry PPs come out from BriskNet, everyone gets excited about that, and we're certainly looking forward to it and hopefully find some winners.
hopefully find a few winners and hopefully, you know, decent prices in there. Speaking of prices, you've long time been an essential quality fan. You made no bones about it that he was your best play Breeders' Cup weekend last year when you knew that he would be the second choice to Jackie's Warrior in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And with the exception of the Kentucky Derby, he hasn't lost since then. He's just keeps winning and winning and winning. Is there a chance, no matter what Nick's Go does this Saturday, is there a chance Essential Quality is favored in the Breeders' Cup Classic?
I don't think so, and part of me says that because after the Pennsylvania Derby, which came back fast, got a good number, you know, there was some chatter of, oh, that's the best three-year-old. I don't get that at all, but, you know, I think there's enough of that there that, okay, if people want to bet Hot Rod Charlie, they will. And to me, that sort of divides the, let's see if we can beat Nick's Go money enough that I just can't see Nick's Go not being the favorite, assuming he wins Saturday. Now, if he doesn't win or doesn't look great, as I alluded to at the top of the show, then I could see where Essential Quality is favored. But he definitely needs a stable mate to not look 100%.
I would think that Nick's Go would not be in the Breeders' Cup if he somehow doesn't win the Lucas Classic this Saturday. If that happens,
I would agree. You know, I guess they could say, well, if we win the Pegasus and the Breeders' Cup and the Whitney, I think was what he won at Saratoga. I mean, I guess there's a case there for Horse of the Year, so maybe they go on. But at the same time, I just feel like this was the plan. You know, Cox used the Cornhusker as a prep for the Whitney. If he doesn't run like he did there here, then I don't see how you say, yeah, he's right where we want him for the Breeders' Cup. So I'm with you.
So let's just hypothetically say that Nick's Go wins the Lucas Classic and he wins it impressively. We'll just say he wins by three lengths. How about something like that? Just, you know, in front all the way, just his typical good efforts, and maybe he'll win by even more than that. Who knows? I don't think it's the toughest field we've ever seen. And let's hypothetically say that Maxfield wins the Woodward. So I think you'd have a Breeders' Cup Classic where, I mean, you have so many horses that are in really good form. There's bound to be a good price on one of these horses that is really not far below anyone else, whether it's Essential Quality, Nick's Go, Hot Rod Charlie, Maxfield,
Medina, you know, Spirit.
See, now for him, first of all, I can't see him just absolutely destroying the field in the Awesome again on Saturday. I just don't think he's that type of horse. And to be honest, I think he's good, not great.
Well, I agree.
And there isn't anybody else in that race, by the way, no matter who wins it, even if they win by five, that I think would be one of the top three choices if these other horses all get the job done. But you're going to have somebody in there, and it could be like Hot Rod Charlie, who's going to be overlooked in the wagering. And to be honest, he's not that far behind these other ones. I happen to think he's not as good as Essential Quality yet, but that doesn't mean he can't beat him. I just, so far, he hasn't been able to do it. And
yeah.
And I'm not sure that the three-year-olds are as good as Nick's Go or Maxfield if one of them run their best race. And by the way, I'm going to disagree with that earlier thing. I think the best three-year-old is Flightline, not Hot Rod Charlie.
Not Jackie's Warrior?
We may find out. They may run against each other on December 26th, and Life is Good may be in that race as well. Wouldn't that be a fantastic renewal of the Malibu?
I would have to think if Jackie's Warrior wins the sprint, we're not going to see him in the Malibu.
Going with the theory that it can only hurt, not help, that he's done all he needs to do and let him have his Eclipse Award and move on.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe if he's going to be retired, then okay, yeah, get another grade one, pile on the credentials. But in my mind, if he's going to run as a four-year-old, I see no reason to run in the Malibu if he wins the Breeders' Cup.
I would agree with that. If he wins the Breeders' Cup, I don't think he'll run in the Malibu, but you never know.
You never know.
Never know what's going through Steve Asmussen and his team's minds right now. But there's a lot of ifs right there, and this is the fun part of racing, looking ahead and looking forward to seeing what we may see in the coming days or weeks or months. Ed, it's been a lot of fun once again.
Always, yeah. Good to, I wasn't sure it was on, so it was good to hear you, and hopefully we'll cross paths sooner rather than later.
We certainly will. Have a great week, my man. Look forward to speaking with you again next Thursday. On behalf of our producer, Lee Delapina, co-host Ed DeRosa, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us tonight on the BrisNet.com call-in show. Tomorrow, another full slate of action here on HRRN Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great evening, everybody.